Oh, you the voice?
Nah, not me.
So if you're not the voice, who is?
The people, man. The people's the voice.
So what does that make you?
That makes me the middleman. I'm the middleman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Middleman Podcast. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, and today I am joined by verbal veteran, Baby the Pobit.
Oh, man, I never got introduced like that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for coming out from all the way in Allentown. I appreciate that.
Yes, yes. The drive was amazing, though. Scranton, this is my first time here, so I appreciate it. After we're done here, I'm definitely going to go get some food.
Hospitality, especially next weekend. We have the Italian Festival coming around. Next weekend in Scranton is going to be a hitter. It always is. It's fantastic. So welcome to the Middleman Podcast. I love the outfit.
Thank you.
The outfit is immaculate. We both dressed fresh to death today.
Yes, on a Saturday. Gotta go to work.
I'm going to a 2-year-old birthday party. So, woo, the party lives on. The party lives on.
Yeah.
So let's talk, Baby the Poet. It's a pleasure having you here. You know, it kind of speaks it itself. Baby the Poet, you are a poet. Can you talk to me about that identity, when it started, and, you know, where it's going? Because you're definitely well on your way. I love what you're doing.
Thank you so much. So, honestly, the name came... My dad started calling me baby girl since I was a little girl. I started going to school and my friends picked it up and they started noticing it. And they're like, we're not going to call you that, but we'll call you baby, you know, because you're so small, all this other stuff. So it kind of like stuck. Everybody calls me it. It's kind of weird when people say my weird name. I'm like, my real name. I'm like, oh, OK. Like, that is me. OK.
No, that's funny because when you and I first met through the phone, I was like, is it okay if I call you baby?
And I was like, yeah.
You're like, yeah, that's how most
normally how it goes. Yeah.
So if you see her in the street, don't hesitate. Just call her baby.
Yeah. Don't be upset. Your girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever friends you have. that's just my name. It's no harm, no foul.
No harm, no foul at all. So, Baby the Poet, you've been doing poetry for how long now? Because you are definitely, as I said, a verbal veteran. She's been out there for, I mean, and I just say that from seeing your performances, seeing the way that you captivate the crowd, and definitely, you know, with Tribes and Vibes, because you have built the portfolio and the fellowship with multiple people in order to build something. So when did poetry really come to fruition for you?
Poetry really... it's been a part of my life, like, since I was a kid. And I could say through music, the culture, right? You got rap, which is rhythm and poetry, right? It's storytelling. When spoken word came to me, I can honestly say I was writing, like, little love poems in, like, middle school and stuff like that. My mom caught them. Oh, my God. That was so embarrassing. But, like, it wasn't until high school. I went on this trip. Vivian Robledo, she took me. I was in an alternative school. And the way she got us to, like, behave, she's like, we'll take you on a trip to the Apollo Theater to see a spoken word performance. And I didn't know what that was. So I was like, all right, let me get good grades and see what that's about, just so I could leave out my dad's house. So when I ended up going, I fell in love, like, seeing the people, how they really felt the words, how they really put words together and these metaphors and the acting and the feeling, and just the performance. Everything just captivated me and took me. And from there, I just took off with it. Like, I started rapping. I started doing music videos. Went on World Star, all this other crazy stuff. Yeah. And that's just something that I really don't talk about, because it was rap and I wasn't being true to my art, right? Mm-hmm. I was trying to be something, and not trying to be something. I was actually rapping, living what I was rapping about. And I think that not a lot of people could grasp that concept. And I just went back to my roots, and it was poetry.
What was the concept that people struggled to capture, you know, when you were rapping? And one thing, can you just move the microphone a little bit?
Okay. Right here?
No, actually towards you.
Oh, towards me?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah,
that's better.
That's perfect.
I think what it was is people couldn't fathom the fact that this light-skinned, small person was hustling, was really violent, and all that other stuff. So I think it kind of portrayed, a lot of people didn't grasp that concept. People probably thought that it was an act or because I saw the comments online and all this stuff. And I was just like, wow, that's interesting because this is really my life. Mm. You know what I mean? So maybe I was doing it too well. But all good things come to a halt. Right. So that really wasn't me. That was just something that I was hiding behind.
OK.
I could say.
So that's interesting. So it was like a different identity. So you did rap for a little bit and people were questioning your concepts. And I think that's interesting that you're like, I think I did it too good. As almost if you're not supposed to have a story like that. Right.
Yes.
That's what people were trying to. And I can see the stories portrayed through your poetry. I've seen a couple of your shows. Definitely one of my favorites. You know, you mentioned with Apollo 13, correct? Is that what it was called? Apollo 13. You were talking about the acting within the performance. You know, like when people are up there captivating a crowd, I talked to Joey Too Cozy Poetry. He talked to me about one of the biggest things that he's developed from, you know, from day one to now is like capturing crowd work. Crowd work. Okay. And he mentioned to me that you have to use expression, and you just mentioned that you have to use acting as well, you know, because, and I'm just going to lead right into it. One of my favorite poems that I saw on your social media was a system. And before you got here, I was just showing Michael, systems as well. And within that poem, you did such a fantastic job just executing, you know, you executed, I heard the glitches because I was just listening to it. Okay. Let me just say real quick. I was just listening to it because I was moving around, but I was listening to it and I heard the glitches and I was like, is that my phone bugging out? I was like, is my phone bugging out? And I look at the video and I'm like, oh no, this is how it's supposed to be. And I understand why. And that poem system, you put yourself as if you were the system in itself. You were a robot.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that form of expression and captivating the crowd like that with the crowd work was immaculate. That was amazing. Could you care to expand on just rehearsal and thought process with that poem? It's such a, it's violent in a sense, you know? So I could see how when rapping people, you know, they'd be like, oh, why is she this violent? She shouldn't be, you know, but
that's all right.
Verbal assassin.
That's one thing. I'm super excited. This is my first podcast and being able to be comfortable and show myself. So in all reality, that's my true nature is violence. Right. The most I get to show it and all that is through my poetry. I learned, I don't want to say at a young age, I learned that I was that type of person, but I learned like in my mid-20s that kind of person, you can have, it don't matter how much money you have, it don't matter, you could be on top of the world, anything like that, you could be lonely. But that poem, that poem was actually a remake.
Oh, okay.
I had asked the person that originated that is called The System. Mine's is called The System, but Food Edition. Right. His name is Prentice Powell. He's a big person in the poetry community. He has performed at Arsenio Hall, HBO, all different types of places. Right. Like traveled all over the country. I'm actually opening up for him and I can't wait to open up and show him what I did. Cause I asked him, I texted him. I was like, listen, that poem is a poem that I always look at before I do a show, so it hypes me up. All right. So I was trying to figure out how can I make that poem my own. So if you see his, he glitches, all of that stuff. Mine's is completely different. Like completely different. But his system is based off of people, ethnic people, and the challenges that they're going through in the system, right? There's this one line that he says, some of yous, how come some of yous want these cops to save one of yous when you catch, when in your communities, you carry a no snitching policy. So he was verbally attacking his community. So I was like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do with, since I changed my lifestyle eating. I was like, you know what? I think that my people really need to see what the fuck they're putting in their mouths. And I think I was vulgar. And when I say vulgar, not like explicit words, I'm talking about I gave it to you raw, like raw dog. If like if commercials were really real, that's what they would be.
Exactly. And no, you did give it to him raw. You portrayed it. And, you know, it's explicit because of the tone in your voice when you hit certain pockets in certain parts of the conversation. You think they're feeding you chickens? No, they're giving you clones. Am I right? Am I right about that? Like that right there, you know, there's so much within that poem. And, you know, you mentioned that you transition it and made it your own with food, which we're going to segue into that right now. You know, you have this wonderful coconut water here that I think is immaculate.
Thank you so much.
I love that. Where do we find something like that? I need that in my life.
You could actually go, I know Wegmans has it, right? So this is like a fully shaven down coconut. So it was, you saw when I cracked it open, it was real easy. It was like something that you could just poke it, a little plastic, and it pops through. So you could get it like at a Wegmans. But normally I go to the farmer's market and they got like young coconuts and you just shave it down and I crack them open. Like
that's
that
lovely. Too. That's amazing. So System, when did you write that poem about? How long to date have you written that?
So I've been a vegan for about a year and 3 months. Yes, a year and 3 months. And it took me about, I want to say, 4 months to write that poem. It was a lot of research. So that poem, it was meant to be aggressive, yes, but if you ever like play it back or anything like that, everything that I've said, you could research it.
It's factual.
Yeah, so that I tapped into like informative writing. I wanted to inform you and also persuade you.
I like that. And so you've been a vegan for a year and 4 months now.
Three months. Yes.
May I ask what transitioned your thought process in your mind to make the switch in your diet?
I could truly say, all right, we could get a little personal. I had got diagnosed with PCOS, which is, I can't really say all the acronyms, but it's something to do with your ovaries. You get a cyst and all of that. And while doing my research, I went down a little rabbit hole and figured out that a lot of ethnic women, especially like Puerto Rican women, have that. And that's because we got, without our will, our ancestors and stuff like that were like test dummies, you could say, or lab rats when it comes to contraceptives. So a lot of that became like generational, right? All that stuff, hereditary, however you want to put it. Yeah, so I started researching and I left pork alone. And once I left pork alone, I was like, all right, I'm okay. A lot of people were like, oh, you're a Puerto Rican that doesn't eat pork? What kind of shit is that?
Yeah, you know, they're going to give you shit. Yeah.
All that stuff. And I'm like, man, there's other people that don't eat pork, man. Whatever. So I went from that. And then I was just eating like beef, chicken, seafood, all of that. I started doing more digging, and then I'm like, all right, they wanted to put me on steroids, and I'm like, I don't want to go on steroids. Like, I don't want that. Is there another route I could go? They was like, I'm not too sure what you're asking. I was like, is there a nutritionist I could speak to? And they, the doctor had told me, yeah, there is. Your insurance will cover that. Nobody ever asked us that, though. I was like, well, I'm not nobody. I'm Ashley. This is my body. Yes. So can I please, you know, and I went down that route and I started speaking to the lady. She was like, you got to eat a lot of leafy greens, all that stuff. But one thing she wasn't telling me was about like meat and how it was carcinogenic and all this other stuff. And I'm like, all right. I started, Netflix has What the Health, and if I'm not mistaken, something else called Secrecy. So it's like C and then Chrissy. And it's just like stuff about seafood and all, and that shit turned me out. And I went cold turkey right there. I stopped immediately. Like it was just like that. And I was miserable the first 2 months. Mm. I didn't know no recipes. I was eating salads. I was miserable. I became a fruitarian.
Mm-hmm. And now you're chefing it up over there. You're making the mushrooms, you know. I hear a lot about chicken mushrooms. I hear those are really, really good. Deep fried, you can batter them up and serve them up. I heard it's amazing.
Yep, it's a lot of people get upset when vegans like I don't even want to put it out there or use that word vegan, but that's the best way I could explain it. I live I don't even want to say an alkaline diet too, because there's some certain things that I eat, but I know that I'm a plant-based person, right? So I know that a lot of my nutrients and all that stuff come from God, right? But on the main frequency, I could honestly say what we were talking about, because that was a high moment. That was a high moment. I started talking about like fruits and stuff, and that gets me excited. But it, for real, because I want people to know that. Oh, we were talking about mushrooms, and that's I wanted people to know when people are plant based and they're say like they replace words like chicken or they use that as a supplement. We're trying to say that resembles that. That will give you trick your mind for that texture. Or for that taste, right? Gotcha. We're not actually trying to say that's chicken because it's not.
it's not. It's similar to that. It's similar to that. So it sounds. I wanted to ask you this. So like with switching your diet, right? I know I'm kind of prying a little bit too much about your diet right now. But with switching your diet, have you noticed an improvement mentally and maybe even like helping with writing, you know, poems or anything? Like, have you felt, cause, you know, spirituality? Pineal gland, they talk about when you eat junk, you know, such as McDonald's, Burger King, all that fast food, you start to block certain, you know, energies and chakras within the body.
Yes.
Personally speaking for yourself, has, you know, changing your diet elevated your mind and how it works?
Yes, it has. But here's the danger about it. You got to be ready for it. Because I wasn't ready for it, right? Like, I think I got into a super depression like recently, because you start to as above so below, right?
Okay.
So the first year you go through like transitioning your lifestyle, because that's another thing I had to kill out was diet, right? Because a lot of we don't understand sometimes our words matter. So how do you spell diet? D-I-E-T. Mm-hmm. Immediately you're saying die.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is that comes after it, it's dying. So don't plan for it too long. And that's why a lot of diets don't last. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I changed my lifestyle. So in changing my lifestyle, I started to realize like the first couple months, it's like especially me, how I did it, right? I went cold turkey. So it was a lot of just trying to try new things and other recipes and recipes that suck and you get depressed. you want to eat certain things. So you go through like a little depression, not for nothing, because you're trying to be disciplined. You're going through all these things. You can't chill with certain friends and all that stuff. So you got to be ready for, nobody talks about that. You got to be ready for all that that comes with it. Mm-hmm. I could say now is when I'm starting to, like, you know, go out more, understand what I can and cannot eat. I don't get invited to family events anymore, right? Because they don't know how to cook for me.
That's crazy.
Right? So it's like, now I know how to bring a bag of things for me to go, right? Mm-hmm. It's little things like that. People don't talk about the isolation that happens when you change that, because a lot of people think that you're trying to be better or anything. And I don't try to force my lifestyle on anybody. This is just how I eat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you just go through a mental battle when you do all that. Yep. And, you know, it reminds me of a conversation I just had recently with an artist named Jay Lotus. We talked about his album, his EP, Shadow EP, and he talked about shadow augmentation, I believe the word. I know I just Googled it recently because I wanted to speak about it, because I thought it was a really good talking point about mental. Oh, shadow integration. Okay. And I'm just going to read it verbatim so I don't give the people false information. What is shadow integration? Shadow integration is a process of bringing the hidden parts of self into consciousness. Okay. Yes. So, you know, it sounds like when you made that transition, that's crazy, bro. People wouldn't invite you to your own family party because they couldn't cook for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's disheartening. And I know, you know, you mentioned your Puerto Rican and Hispanic background. We like to gather. Mm-hmm. We love to gather. We love to have a great time together. And to be excluded because you change your diet is just like, it's one of those things. So shadow integration is like, you have all of these things like depression because the recipe isn't good. You know, people don't want to invite you out. You want to eat something you can't, but you have to bring that to self-consciousness. You have to make that who you are and be okay with it, which you are now, yes. It seems. So congratulations to you and making that switch.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it'd be rough. Don't think it's now that I'm grasping it. But I wouldn't change it for the world, because I go to the doctors now. I don't have no PCOS, right?
Amazing.
I don't have any of that, right? The most that I have is that my body fucking hurt from work. I try to do my stretches, all that. But other than that, like, I can honestly say, like, I sleep good. All of that. Like, I used to have restless nights. And I think the only thing restless, it would be, like, emotionally.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Not my body health-wise.
Gotcha.
It will be like mental.
Mm-hmm. Mental. And yeah. and that's a challenge that we battle every day, especially as creators. I wrote in my journal yesterday, and it's been a very long time since I wrote in my journal. And something I realized that I thought was pretty interesting was I wrote in my journal entry last time about me leaving my job and starting a new job. And guess what? I'm doing the same thing again. And that's when I chose to write again. And I was like, huh, maybe we're picking up a trend here. But I want to talk about your poetry and definitely Tribes and Vibes, which you are wearing right
Thank
on the
you.
Shirt here.
Thank you. Yes.
Shout out Tribes and Vibes.
Yes.
It's something that I just want to know what it is. I mean, it seems like you built it from the ground up. You're a wonderful MC. You know, and that's why I was so excited to have you come on the show, because I'm like, she's going to kill it.
Thank you. So Tribes and Vibes is a safe platform for everyone to perform. And when I say everyone, I mean all artists, comedians, singers, dancers, definitely actors, right? If everybody has 5 minutes. You could do a 5-minute skit or anything like that and captivate the fucking crowd. You do it. That's the whole platform in the Lehigh Valley. And it's not just for the artists, but also for the audience members to receive and also give energy, you know, and also embrace it. So that's what Tribes and Vibes is about. It's a safe place for everyone to give off art and receive art.
Yes, I absolutely love it. And you've built this platform. Are you at the helm of this platform? Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I'm a one band man team.
When did you build this platform?
Yeah, you know, like 2021.
2021. Okay. Yeah. And you've been, so it's located in Allentown. Where are your usual venues?
So my usual venues is definitely the Steel Stacks.
Okay.
Steel Stacks. I have jumped around to a couple places, but I can honestly say Steel Stacks is definitely the home right now. I'm definitely trying to get other places. So I've been just going around to through different venues in the Lehigh Valley. And being up here, this is something to look at. So I'm always looking at different places to expand, Tribes and Vibes, all that. Because I feel like art needs to be in the forefront. Because it is. It's just a lot of people don't think it is. What we're doing is art.
Our
background, the mics, how we're speaking. We're speaking about life. We got Mike there. This is all art, right?
It is art. And I struggle to inform that and acknowledge it in the beginning of doing the podcast. But, you know, I've kind of come to terms that this is, you know, art. And even with Trudy said, the way that I set up the table, there's a reason why I did it this way. There's a reason I brought the New York out. You know, you mentioned you were born in New York.
Yeah.
But, you know, you represent Lehigh Valley. I'm going to say Lehigh Valley now because it's more than just that town, you know, the Lehigh Valley. And, you know, you've been a part of the community doing your thing out there, Tribes and Vibes. And I was looking through your social media and something that I really, really enjoyed watching was I saw that you were invited to a school. To help young children actually perform their own poetry, but it looked as if they had their back turned, so they were trying to build their confidence is what it seemed as if you were doing, as if you were coaching.
Yes, so I was in Trexler Middle School. Shout out to those middle schoolers because they don't understand. They appreciated me and looked up to me and all of that, and they don't know how much I needed them. You know what I'm saying? So that was my first moment that I was a teacher. It was like a 2-day thing. It was about 4 hours. No, 3 hours, I want to say. And we went through, the first segment was definitely in the classroom. And I was teaching, we went through my little course, teaching them the importance of words, what words can mean. And like, for instance, the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I flat out told them just like that, listen, I'm not your average teacher, and nor do I have a teacher's degree. I look like y'all, I'm young like y'all, and some of y'all are taller than me. So I'm gonna tell you just like that. That phrase is absolutely, what do you think about that? They was like, I don't know. A lot of them were saying they don't know. I was like, I think that that's bullshit. Because you can't tell me right now that when your mom said something to you that was mean, or that you thought that it was mean, that you don't remember those moments. So that means those words did hurt you. Or when your friend did something to you or things, words do matter. So we went through words, different levels, high levels, low levels, moderate levels, and how you could use your words. Like, for instance, when you're mad, what's a word when you're mad that you use when you're absolutely mad? If you want to describe, like, or matter of fact, not mad, when you're sad.
When I'm sad.
Yep. A level 5 of sad, 1 through 5, 1 being the lowest, 5 being the high of sadness.
Okay. Sadness. You know, I whimper like a little bitch. I cry. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be like, of course this is happening. Like, of course this is how it's supposed to be, but it's ugly. It's coming out ugly. Like, when I'm sad, I take it to the chin.
See, a lot of them would use the word ugly, right? Mm-hmm. What you just said, sadness, they would use annoyed.
Okay. Annoyed's a good one.
Yeah. Sadness. Then I started teaching them different words. You could be disappointed, shameful, guilty. Those are high levels of sadness, right?
Yeah.
And then they started to now realize the words maybe their parents was using. Maybe it was high levels of anger. What did I do to create that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, because I mean, if it's always joked about, but if, like, you know, you're a father and you say to your child, you know, like, I'm disappointed in you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say to a kid. People think that.
And they'll crumble.
People think that violence is the answer. No, words. I know me growing up, they'd be like, oh, you weren't fucked up, but look, you ain't died or nothing, but look at how angry I am. Look at how I decide to solve my problems is with violence or raising my voice or trying to overshadow somebody else's voice because I think that they're going to listen to me more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All those things come from
when here. You were young.
So it was cool to grab them while they were young. You know what I mean? And teaching, we went through that the first day. And then the second day was what you saw. I had a mirror, I had a microphone, and I showed them how to memorize their poems.
Wow, in the mirror.
Yeah, okay. So they could, I showed them exactly how I rehearsed. Uh-huh. That was the best way that I could show, right? And I showed them what they look like. And that's what you were seeing me behind them walking back. I was like, look at yourself, pick your head up. Because everybody's seeing that. You don't see it? And a lot of them like clicked into like actor mode and their voices were getting higher. And yeah, you got to see yourself.
That's a fun activity.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real fun activity.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I could see that, you know, there was one student there who's confident and she mumbled me, you know, and you were like, I'm sorry, who? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, her voice got louder. But in that moment, you know, she's looking down maybe at her feet and then she starts to raise up her eyes, like, having a look at yourself in the mirror, as most people know, is one of the toughest things to do, especially in a room full of people, your peers behind you nonetheless, you know, and you're going to perform something that is truthful to you and what it means to you. So what a great activity, and kudos to you for being able to do that. I think that's fantastic. I would love to give back to the community as a...
Let me tell you something, Kev. For real, you know what was so sad? Like, I was so overjoyed with that day, right? But when I was done and I went in the car and I got in the parking lot, I fucking cried. Because you have no idea, these poems, these little kids were saying, this one, I can't say names, anything like that, but it was this little girl and middle schooler. They were in eighth grade. And she's sitting there, this poem, it was a love poem, and it was a domestic violence poem, right? So I'm over here, I'm like, can't be you, it's probably her parents, right? I'm thinking, it's definitely not, it was her grandparents, bro. Like, going through shit like that. So I'm like, over here, then there was this one fucking little boy that he was sitting there going through things that, I guess he's going through puberty, right? And he liked this girl and he got his first hard on and he got embarrassed, all this other stuff. Like, yo, these kids are going through shit and they don't have no one to talk to. But that day and through their poems, they decided to talk to me. And that was wicked to me because I don't got no kids, guy. That was new to me. You know what I'm saying? I kind of got thrown to the wolves right there. They was like, I think you should go to this middle school and speak and teach this with the English teacher. I'm like, fuck it. Why not? And that's how that went.
That's amazing. No, I can relate because I used to coach football. And I just seeing those kids from the 7th, 8th grade go to all the way like a senior, seeing them grow and just seeing them. Like, I remember I had to teach the one kid how to mop. You know, he had to teach him how to mop. He spilled the milk and the woman just got done cleaning. And he's like, Coach, I don't know how to mop. I said, bro, you don't mop at home? He said, no, my mom does that. I was like, nah, not here, bro. You're going to learn how to mop.
And I think that those are things that we should definitely be showing the youth, right? Not only how to use their hands and their minds, but also, let me not say their minds because I feel that's what I was trying to get to. Not just use their bodies, right, to do these jobs or to be in these schools or anything like that, or their minds for these schools, but learn how to like express themselves and know how to communicate, because there's a lot of adults that do not know how to fucking communicate. Mm-hmm. And it be strangers. And I know we see it every day. We see it with people with road rage. That be motherfuckers that don't know how to communicate. You so mad that you gotta like chase me down because you had a bad day or whatever the fuck you going through. And you go road rage.
Yep.
You could lose because you don't know how to communicate.
We've used this acronym before. I got it from the Wu-Tang. It's peace, proper evaluation, activates controllable emotions. Okay. So, you know, it's just like, it's stuff like that. Like trying to keep, teach a youth, you know, you mentioned words, right? You know, how to formulate different words instead of ugly, use disappointed or so on and so forth. One of my trigger words, and I, you know, when you were telling that story, I remembered was in high school, I was called pathetic by a gym teacher at the time. Yeah. And, yeah, he called me pathetic because I couldn't do the workout in a gym class, but I was beat up because I was wrestling and all that, so I was just exhausted, so I didn't want to do it. And yeah, I remember he called me pathetic, and that was a feeling of enragement. I was extremely, like, frustrated and upset and hurt by that, you know? So I talked to him after the fact, and I was like, hey, man, don't you ever use that word against me again, like, ever. I'm not a big fan of that. That's my trigger word. You know, everyone has
words
a trigger word.
Matter.
That's the one that for me, it's like, yo, fuck you. You don't know what the fuck I've been through. You know, like I will get real nasty when someone calls me pathetic or even I don't even like using it in my context. I wouldn't dare call, you know, what that podcast, that person, that their art, it's pathetic. Nah, because I can't do it. It started out and it's original for them. You know, it's original for them. It's so
that there's certain words like. That get to everybody. And if we will learn how to communicate with that, or like, for instance, well, let's just say right now, I didn't know that. And I would have said that. Right. And, I would have seen your face or anything like that. Me being the communicator that I am now, I would have been like, hey, is everything okay? Because I noticed X, Y, and Z. Is there something that I said? A lot of people don't know how to do shit like that. That is, mm-hmm. that is considered like, you being too direct, or what the fuck you mean too direct? Who am I gonna direct it to? I'm talking to you. Hey, but
I'm super happy we're having this conversation because on a for real, I'm gonna tell you real right now. I've been too direct as of late, way too direct, and I got called out on it twice recently within the same week. And I'm happy these people called me out on it. For example, I went into the gas station and I needed to get a receipt, so I walked up to the cashier and I said, hi, can I get the receipt for pump one? He goes, how you doing? I was like, I'm sorry. You're right. How are you doing? I'm doing well. You know, da, da, da. It was just too direct approach. I had some feedback that I needed to bring upon my team. And instead of saying, hey, man, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I directly bang. And he was like, first text, like, this is, you know, the first thing you're going to say. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I got to take a step back. And I'm going to work on that. And I'm happy that people are, you know, there's fucking signs, right? There's so many signs right now. I've been called out twice and we're having this conversation right now.
Always.
It's a sign.
You see, but if they're calling you out or something like that, right? That means that that is something that's not in your nature, right?
Yes, yes, yes. That is correct. And so. I'm happy you called that out because another conversation, a friend of mine was like, the past few weeks I've been noticing you're still a light, but there's something going on, bro. What's going on? And that's where we're at.
I think that overall us as adults, like, I don't know how old you are, but I know my birthday is next week. And I know,
happy birthday.
Thank you. I know being in your 30s is like a lot of people say, oh, it's not that you feel older. Because I don't feel older, and I know I don't look older. I know what it is. It's a mental thing. And sometimes we could get in our own head. So I don't know if it's the stresses of being older and thinking that you're supposed to be where you're not where you're supposed to be, or you're supposed to be much further, or you don't know where you're supposed to be going, or you know that you love one thing, but this is getting in the fucking middle. Like, all those things could pull you in different directions and make you see sides of yourself that probably you like or you don't like, right? And that's why the people that surround you, they're there for a reason. Whether it is to question you or to bring you back or anything like that. You know what I mean? So always appreciate those around you. That's what I could say. Going through, because I've been going through a pause, right? I haven't done an open mic since, I want to say, July. So it wasn't that long. So July 22nd, I think it was. But I'm not planning on doing anything. I got a performance in October that I'm opening up for. It's called the Legends. So Prentice Powell, OB West. I'm going to be with Maui, the writer, She Bars. Just so many different poets, Cito Blanco. When we're done, like, research these people are like big dogs.
I'm going to have to.
And I'm just super grateful to be on that ticket. So I'm just more so concerned about that. I know that I'm going through a lot personally. And one thing I want to say to a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs and all of that stuff, like, you got to be ready for everything that comes with it. Everything that comes with it is going to be sleepless nights. And I know that's, I'm not a person that's made out of money. So I know this probably be like, you're probably thinking like, oh, this person, she's just watching motivational videos. No. This is like real experience. There's going to be nights that you do not fucking sleep in. Not because of the business, it's because of your decisions that you have to make. Because you're literally split in two. Because you're not rich and you're still living in this fucking world, in this matrix. So, and you have this dream and all that. So, like, you're literally fighting your lower and your higher self every day. And that's the worst battle and the worst prison is to be in your mind. And people don't understand that growing up. You know what I mean? So a lot of people, like don't understand. Sometimes people just probably need a hug or, like, everything is going to be okay. You know what I mean?
A prison within your mind. To get out of that prison within my mind, yesterday I went fishing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy I did. And, you know, I often speak about meditation, and fishing, in a sense, is a form of meditation, just sitting there relaxing, just watching the bobber, focused on it. So that's what I did yesterday. Let's get back to Tribes and Vibes. Let's get back to who you are. You're a traveling artist.
Yes.
You know, you've probably traveled to numerous locations. Tell me about that lifestyle. How fun is that?
It's fun. It's definitely fun as hell. I can say it's fun. A lot of the places that I have gone, everywhere I go by myself. So, like, I'll go get a hotel, all that stuff. And it's like, it's so interesting when, especially, like, I'm not known. So a lot of people, I go to a lot of these places.
You should be known. You should be known. I'm telling you right now.
But when I first started, right? All right, so I could give you my first experience in DC. I went to pure DC Poetry, right? And it's just, if I'm not mistaken, it was jam packed, and I dead ass went alone, right? So I'm sitting there and I see, you could tell I'm not from here. The way I'm dressed, the way I'm talking, ordering, all of that. So they automatically know, I guess a lot of people are frequent comers, right? Yeah. So I'm like the new person with locks, all that stuff, light skin John. That's how they remember me, right? That's how they talk. Well, they don't say John. That's the Philly. I'm still light skin John over there too. So whatever. So I'm over there and I'm like, all right, they had me. I had signed up, but they, like, pushed me, like, I want to say more towards, like, the ending of the middle. So after the intermission, so I'm there or all this stuff, and they say Baby the Poet. So everybody's looking all around. So I come from the back because I sat all the way in the back. I was like, damn, I should have probably never sat in the fucking back because now I gotta make that walk. I'm walking, and that's what I hear. I'm like, I hear, the first thing I hear, I was like, we got ourselves a light bright. I said, oh, shit. So I'm like, oh, all right. So I'm like, fuck. So I go and I walk up and I forgot what poem I did. I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, I did Let's Live. So I did that poem, and that poem was about, like, just we thinking we smart and all that stuff, and we not smart. Like the one bar, I was like, instead of getting your W-2s and spending all your taxes, how about you invest in yourself? So it was just a whole lot. It was like a whole lot. So when I had did that, they were like they had stopped me, all that. I got a standing ovation. So that's the stuff that I experience, is like a lot of people be quiet. A lot of poets, they go with like a crew and all that. And shout out to them. I'm not saying that anything is bad. Like, if you need that moral support, go get it. Me, I was more the type that I want to go by myself, because if I fucking suck, I'm the only person that knows, and them people in that crowd, and that's it.
That's the mindset.
Like, I don't have to repost anybody's story, anything. If I don't want it to be seen, it's not being seen. I fucking suck that night. So that was just my theory. So going and traveling far. Like, for instance, I traveled 1 hour and 20 minutes over here, and I came by myself. Like, it's so clear-minded. Like, those long drives to D.C., New York, Connecticut, Jersey, Rhode Island.
That's awesome.
Fucking Lancaster.
You know what's great is just being invited out there, you know? And that's what I'm saying, like, you need to be known. Like, they need to know about Baby the Poet. So, you know, you've definitely formed a lot of relationships with numerous people to be able to be invited at a venue like hours away, like Rhode Island. That's a far drive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a really far drive. So that's incredible. And then, like, Tribes and Vibes, you know, you mentioned that you kind of slowed it down for a little bit now. And do you plan on bringing it back probably after you do your show? Like,
most definitely.
I would love to attend one of these events.
Most definitely. I definitely am gonna have one before the ending of the year, at least one more open mic. But I'm really, really focused on trying to get into colleges and high schools, and I really wanna do more tours. It's kind of hard. I commend anybody who's doing the open mic scene or doing events or anything like that. Like, I commend all that stuff. And I commend anybody that is doing stuff by themselves. It's very difficult to create these shows and a lot of money. Because one slogan I stand by, this says Tribes and Vibes, but my other piece of merchandise, clothing, should I say, my capsule, it has our logo, and it says Pay the Poet. So I pay all the artists, right? Not the open mic artists, because that you're going to get yourself seen, all that. Mm-hmm. But the featured artists and stuff like that, or when I do a showcase, because those are different. Open mics and showcase are different. Mm-hmm. When I do a showcase, every artist is getting paid, and they don't get paid like 25, 50 bucks. Like, at the minimum's $100, and I be having at least 12 artists, 10 to 12 artists. That's a lot of money, not counting DJs. Now we're going to go to a breakdown, because I think a lot of people don't understand event work, right?
Please do.
DJs at a minimum is $250 anywhere to if they fuck with you. Probably like a local DJ, you're looking at, if they're active and stuff like that, a good DJ, you're looking at $600-$700. That's one. Then you're looking at the venue cost. And if you know how to negotiate and stuff like that, maybe you could get it at a decent price. But at a minimum, you're looking at anywhere from $800 to $1,200. Then you have to budget in your artist, right? Because none of these poets, they're traveling from different places. Sometimes they have their travel fee as well as their fee for how long their set is. So sometimes a 15 to a 20 minute set, that could be $250 to $400, right?
We're already over $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're already over $2,000.
So, and all of that, I'm not a nonprofit. I'm not anything like that. I'm a sole proprietorship. As a matter of fact, I haven't even transitioned yet. So all that money is coming from warehouse money, my savings. That's the God honest truth. the advertisements, all that stuff. So nobody can tell me that I do not love what I do, because I just this year was the first time that I broke even in the show. So that means I made no dollars. I wasn't in that negative, if you understand that lingo.
Business, exactly. No, you love what you do. You put on for the people. And one of the things that I love about Tribes and Vibes is it says the voice of the Lehigh Valley.
Yes.
You know, the voice of the Lehigh Valley. Here on the Middleman Podcast, we say the people's voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we say here. And that's why I really, really looked forward to talking to you, because I'm inspired to do something that you are doing. And I've talked about it before, and I'm creating a team here in Scranton to try and put on a festival. Okay, with multiple performers, you know, and the performers would be the people who we have brought on the show, the people who are vendors that we've brought to the show. Like, we have the list of people and the acts to make it happen. Now it's just a matter of, how do we make it happen? What do we need to go in and talk about? We need event planner. You just talked about DJ. You talked about cost, stuff like that. Like, that's something that I want to put on for my show, and I love that you do it, because I want to be like you on a for real. Be like baby on a for real. Like, that's the truth.
That shit is hard.
Yeah. I don't doubt it. Like, I don't doubt it not one bit. You know, you and I, in the conversation, we talked about mental health. We talked about depression. We talked about stuff that get in the way. And you mentioned you do it alone. And me, sometimes I'm a sole proprietor. Like, I'm solo too. When I go to festivals, when I go network, every so often, if Mike's available, he will come with me, right? So bless Mike. Whenever he's available, he will come with me. But 9 times out of 10, I'm solo dolo, just gonna go send it and see what happens. You know, I mentioned to you about comedy and going up on stage. I wanted to do that a lot more. I've only done it like 3 times, but I keep practicing material in my head. And
do it in the mirror.
Do it in a mirror. Yeah, that's, I do it in a mirror. I call my brother and I'll be like, yo, just hear me out. Just, you got 10 minutes, mm-hmm. You know, and tell me what you think. And, you know, that's where we get the feedback from. Where was I going with that? But yeah, being solo, when you go to these events, you know, like, if you love what you do, you're going to go do it solo, no matter how much anxiety it does cause you inside. You know, me and Mary Jane, we talk a little bit, and then I'm a little bit more social, you know, I'm ready to go.
That's where it was at, because if it wasn't for that, I would be shaking in my boots half the time. You know what I'm saying? And for all the artists too, a lot of people, at least for me, maybe there's some veterans that probably don't get nervous anymore. But I can honestly tell you, I've been doing this since 2016, performing at different places and going on stages. And I can still say, probably my next show in October for the Legends, me opening up, I know for a fact I'm going to be nervous going on that stage, all that. My heart flutters each and every time, every show that I do, even when it's my own that I curated it, I market everything, I always get nervous every single time. But that's when you see me breathe real quick, all that, and just know that I love this. So it's going to come out one way. And if you love what you do, that's how you know. If you're not nervous, then you don't love it, because you want to do right by it.
That's perfect. And usually at the end of the show, we ask people to give us their final thoughts to share with the crowd. But you hit it right on the, you know, hit it right at the perfect time. I wanted to say Tribes and Vibes is absolutely amazing. I love what you're doing. I love your poetry, your work, your networking. Your social media is hilarious. Interrupting your scrolling, that shit is smooth. You know, give us one for the people here.
It's your girl, Baby the Poet, interrupting your scrolling.
There it is. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Middleman Podcast, baby. You've taken. Of course, and the style is amazing. We're going to transition over to Tea Time, not brought to you by, but inspired by Arizona Iced Tea. I am the man in the middle, Kevin Martinez, signing out. Thank you.
Later, y'all.